The reading this morning is from Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 10 to verse 31. This can be found on page 668 of the Church Bible. Proverbs, chapter 31, starting at verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This is the word of the Lord.
First of all, it is such a privilege for me to be here to share with you all on Mission Gift Day Sunday. It's a bit of a full circle moment for me, actually, because God sowed seeds for mission in my life at various points in my teenage years and in my early 20s and since. But about 40 years ago, I don't know exactly how old I was, but I would have been about 14 or 15. I was sitting just over there in much less comfortable seats when we still had pews, listening to the speaker on Mission Sunday. It could have been Bridget, actually. I have talked to her about this. And just listening to the speaker speaking about mission and just that idea dropped into my mind, which I think was God, which is incredible to me, really, but that this is what I wanted to do. So you never know. No pressure. But yes, yeah, so that's my prayer, that wherever we might do mission, that our hearts are stirred for mission today. Second of all, I bring greetings from my family. So hopefully, there's a picture of them on the screen. If you don't know us yet, we did live in Thailand for 12 years, but for the last 6 years, we've been living in Bognor Regis on the south coast. You'll see Evie and Mark there. Evie's on the left-hand side. They're at home today in Bognor Regis because Evie has her last two A-level papers tomorrow and Tuesday, and they needed to be home for her, but they send greetings. Edward, who's just kind of behind me, lives near us in Bognor Regis, and since I was last here, we have a new family member, We have a new daughter-in-law, Floria, and our son, Jack, there has his arm around his now wife. They're married. They live in Strasbourg, France. I do have two family members here. They can wave at me. My parents, John and Rita Faulkner, who many of you will know because they worshipped here for 50-plus years. They got married in this church nearly 58 years ago, and Mark and I got married here just over 30 years ago. So I grew up in St. Patrick's, and I went off in my early 20s to join the mission organization Youth of the Mission, and I'm still going. For the last 20 or so years, I've been working in this area of business as mission. So greetings from my family. That was the important thing I have to say. And it's a joy to be with you. I want to talk today about mission in all vocations and all vocations in mission. You might have been surprised to hear Proverbs 31 was our reading today. Perhaps you even wondered if they got the right reading for Mission Sunday, but I assure you that's what I asked for. This passage is often known as the wife of noble character after the very first line, but I think the heading could quite easily be the worthy woman of business. And that was a title suggested to me by a friend called Craig, and I think it's quite apt because this woman is a businesswoman, as we'll see. Perhaps these days you could call her the enterprising community influencer. I did think about calling her the girl boss, but perhaps apparently that's derogatory now, so we can't use that. So we'll go with the enterprising community influencer. So Proverbs 31 is the last chapter in a whole book packed full of wise sayings. It's a book of wisdom, a collection of sayings that are just a practical guide for living a fruitful, upright, God-honoring life. And it's not just a collection of sterile rules, because at the heart of Proverbs is a relationship. Central to Proverbs is the idea that it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom comes from God, and it begins with recognizing his lordship and his kingship and aligning ourselves with him and his principles. And in the penultimate verse of our passage today, we hear the same idea. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So think of this chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs 31, as a sketch of wisdom in action. We've had all of these sayings and principles throughout the whole book of Proverbs, but here's a kind of sketch, a portrait of it, if you like, in action. And men, don't switch off. Sometimes when we hear this passage, we think, oh, that's not for us. And women, don't roll your eyes and think, not that woman again. I know I have in the past. Because our Proverbs 31 enterprising community influencer is living out wisdom in quite an ordinary daily context. It's wisdom in action. The Proverbs 31, the whole chapter is a letter or message from a mother to a son, King Lemuel. And we don't really know who he is. It could have been a nickname for a king that we're more familiar with, or a king that's just not recorded elsewhere in Scripture. And the first part of the chapter addresses Lemuel, and then from verse 10 to 31, the whole book of Proverbs ends with this poem. It's an acrostic poem. Each sentence starts with a new letter of the alphabet. So it's poetry. It's not a description of a real historic woman, but a composite, a highlights reel, if you like, describing here's what a wise person looks like. What I like about this passage is that it's a sketch of a person going about their ordinary business. So often in the Bible, our main characters are kings and prophets, or in the New Testament, they're apostles, or they're doing quite strange things relatively to our lives. Some of them do very ordinary things, it's true. And You women, you might read this and think, well, this enterprising community influencer isn't very relatable. You know, she definitely has main character energy, doesn't she? But she's doing some quite normal things. So maybe you can relate to some of these, men and women. She's thinking about how to provide for her family. She's got to find food or get it in for everyone. She's trying to make decisions about how to spend her money. She's trying to make shrewd investments for the future. She's working hard in a variety of contexts. She's got others in her employment, in her team, if you like, and she's looking after them. She's trying to be generous with her resources. She's acquired skills and is using them in her work. That's what she puts her hand to the distaff means. It's technical skills that she has. She's buying and selling. She's creating wealth. She's doing household administration. And she's being creative with the resources she has, and she's getting involved in her community. So I hope you can relate to some of those things that she's doing. So next slide, please. Let's have a look at some of her characteristics. The first one here, valiant, it's translated as virtuous woman or noble woman, but it's Esheth Chael in Hebrew, and that's translated elsewhere in scriptures in Judges as, well, in Judges, that very phrase is translated mighty men of valor. So it really means woman of valor. She's valiant. She's trustworthy. She's shrewd. She's hardworking and creative. She's generous. She's skilled. She's compassionate, wise, and influential. Whether you work primarily in the home or in a retail outlet in Wallington or a school or a bank in the city, I hope you'll find some wisdom for daily work and vocation in this composite sketch of what wisdom looks like in action. Because Proverbs is a practical guide for living a fruitful and God-honoring life. And these principles of wisdom in action draw us towards and align us with God's character. And they will draw other people to him too. They draw other people to wisdom and towards the ultimate wise one. See, I don't think you can separate out the wisdom of God from the mission of God or from the love of God. Of course, we can't separate mission from simply living out our faith every day. One of my friends who ran a business in North India in a city of millions that had never received the gospel, they didn't have an established church, once described what they were doing as showing people around the kingdom and introducing them to the king. Showing people around the kingdom and introducing them to the king. I think that's what we're doing, isn't it, in our community every day. When we're living God's wisdom in action every day in our vocations, people are going to notice. And I think mission in all vocations looks a bit like doing our work with excellence, working with integrity, kindness, being trustworthy and hardworking, producing excellent goods and services, caring for people, dealing with conflict fairly, building real relationships with people, because that's the place that we're spending most of our time, or a lot of our time. And as we do that, we have many opportunities to show people what the kingdom of God is like and introduce them to King Jesus. All our vocations offer many opportunities to glorify God and live out God's wisdom in action. So we're all on mission every day. Does that make us all missionaries? Oh, that's a big question for Mission Sunday. Well, yes, I think there is a very real sense that we are all mission partners with a small M and a small P of St. Patrick's, aren't we? We're all on mission every day in our daily life, whatever our context. Because mission is central to God's identity, and as God's image bearers and co-creators with him, it's also central to the identity of his church and every Christ follower in it. Mission is for all of us. Whatever our vocation, we're all participants or ministers in God's Missio Dei. Let's have the next slide. Missio Dei just means, it's a Latin phrase, it just means the mission of God. Because mission, that drive for mission in the church, comes from the heart of God. Are we all missionaries? I also want to say no to that question, and I'll explain what I mean in a moment. Because that brings me to the second part of my talk. So it was on mission in all vocations and all vocations in mission. We do need the special role of deliberately sent out missionaries. And we need those people to be from all vocations. And I'm going to introduce three terms here. So next slide. Missionhood. Mission is part of our own identity. All Christians must know and be convinced of our identity in God's universal call to Missio Dei, his mission. And then there's two more terms here, co-missionary and missionary. And I borrowed these terms from a chap called Greg Wilton, and he wrote them in an article aptly named, Are We All Missionaries? And he distinguishes between the term co-missionary and missionary. He says co-missionary comes from the Great Commission, from Matthew 28. Jesus said to them, and this is a more typical, perhaps, verse for Mission Sunday. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you, and surely I am with you to the end of the age, the very end of the age. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, many scholars agree that he didn't mean primarily go elsewhere and make disciples, but as you are going, make disciples. So go is not the operative word in the Great Commission, making disciples is. As we are all disciples of Jesus, we all make disciples in all of our daily context. Or as Greg Wilton says, we are all co-missionaries. So co-missionary is all of us. All Christians know and understand the practice of the Great Commission in their daily life. And we're all missionaries in the sense that we're all a part of the Great Commission of Jesus. However, it's also necessary to have a distinct category for missionaries. And we see that in the Bible. Some are sent out. We do have mission partners with a capital M and a capital P, and we're intentional about supporting them. Because many Christians must heed the call of God to be God's witnesses to the ends of the earth. Jesus included the to all nations and to the ends of the earth in his commission. That is to say, to make disciples of everyone, everywhere. And we need to be really intentional about the everyone, everywhere part. Because we're called to take the gospel where it hasn't been yet. To work in the gaps. And that gospel, yes, it means sharing about Jesus, that's central. But it also means good news for the poor, freedom from the prisoners, release for the oppressed. Serving the least of you and loving our neighbours, ourselves, a whole gospel. So keeping the Great Commission central in our church will mean that if we're fully engaged in Missio Dei and the mission of God, then some of us will have to go. And go might mean going across geographical boundaries, or it may mean focusing more intentionally on the underserved or unreached communities closer to home, like Becky does in Liverpool in her hometown, with people from the Middle East who are right on our doorstep, or her doorstep. The important thing is that we're attentive to the way that God is leading us. Professional missionaries are not going to get, and I say professional missionaries, I hope you know what I mean, people who are just deliberately sent out, we're not going to get the job done on our own. There's just not enough of us. Michael Oh, who leads the Lausanne Global Network, which is a global network of mission organizations and entities and churches around the world, opened the Congress on Global Evangelism 18 months ago by saying, we need to mobilize the 95% of the church that are in the workplace, because otherwise we are not going to reach the world for Christ. We need to affirm them, mobilize and equip every single Christian believer for mission in every single place they are day by day, to be on mission where they are. However, he said, even if every single Christian was being faithful where they are in their workplace, in daily life, it would not be enough to see the Great Commission fulfilled. Why? Because 86% of all Buddhist, Hindus and Muslims, and there are many other categories we should add in, but that's just the figure for Buddhist, Hindus and Muslims, 86% do not know a single Christian. The gospel is incarnational and it spreads through relationships. So yes, we do need to be on mission in all our vocations, but we also need to be intentional about sending people in all vocations. There are also intractable, difficult issues facing the world, mission issues that often need very specialist skills. So we do need those traditional mission roles, Bible translators, teachers, youth pastors, radio ministry, relief and development workers, schools workers, evangelists, church planters in very remote parts of the world. We need to send people. Thank you, St. Patrick's, for being a mission-sending church. I cannot tell you what a privilege and joy it is to come from such a congregation that values global mission so highly, who you support and pray for your mission partners. Keep going, please. We so appreciate it and are so thankful. As well as praying and supporting all of you in your congregation as you go out week by week into daily life to love and serve the Lord, as we say in some parts of the liturgy. We do need to send people and we need all vocations in global mission. This is what I'm really passionate about. This is what I spend my life doing. Some vocations in global mission might be more familiar to you. I hope you can readily imagine how a teacher, a doctor, or a pilot might be able to use their skills in a mission context. But what about a baker, a bookkeeper, or a banker? What does business have to do with mission? I hope Proverbs 31, her community influencer, might have given you some ideas. And the stories that I told briefly about Zhiwan, Becky, and Paolo. And over lunch, I think I might have time to share another story or two. I'm a bit biased, but I think this is true. Business skills are some of the most needed skills in mission today. That's what I'm really passionate about, and that's why I spend my life resourcing and teaching and helping business people feel affirmed, yes, to do business where they are. We have many opportunities to glorify God in all our vocations, but for some to go and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So on mission in all vocations and all vocations in mission. Let's continue to be commissionaries, co-missionaries in our daily context and be faithful to send and support global missionaries at home and to the ends of the earth. Thank you.